Hi, you're tuned to KBOO Portland, and this is The Recovery Zone, a show focused on healing our world, healing everything, healing our society, healing the planet, and healing ourselves. My guest today would heal all of us by having experienced the value and healing of incredibly deep relaxation. And they do this by floating in very salty, buoyant water in the dark for an hour and a half or more at a time. Chris Messer was on this show 6 years ago. He had just moved here and had started a small float center called, what was it called?
The Deep Haven.
The Deep Haven, right. 10 months later, he had hooked up with a couple of partners, and they now own what's described as the largest float center on the West Coast. Is that what you could call that?
I don't think it is anymore. But I think there's something up in Canada.
It's starting to take off, isn't
yes.
it, floating? Peter Moore is also joining us to talk about how floating healed his post-traumatic stress syndrome. And Jordan Lamp is going to be able to provide us with a multitude of floating facts and figures. I'm calling Peter Moore the float fairy because he actually was giving floats away. He was finding it so incredible. And Jordan is our float wizard. And as part of the KBOO Pledge Drive, we're offering a few 90-minute floats as premiums for those who are able to make a donation. A $65 float for only $75 donation. It's a real steal. And all you have to do is call 877-500-5266 and get that happening. So we're going to start. I want to just welcome all three of you here.
Thank you.
Start by, why would someone want to hang out in the dark, in the water, for 90 minutes or longer with nothing going on and nothing to do? Because that's essentially what this
what
is,
What more
right?
would you want? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Seems pretty ideal to me.
Well, now that you've done it, but how do you persuade someone? Because I think a lot of people are almost kind of phobic about it. I was talking to somebody and he was going, oh, I don't know if I'd want to do that, you know. So
well, we don't try and persuade anybody.
You don't Usually try to persuade anybody.
People that are doing this are... you know, into meditation, or they're just, they realize they need to kind of chill out in their life, and they hear about floating, and they're interested in doing it. But you never want anybody to go in there against their will.
I've had people who have been researching these things for up to 10 years before they decide to try it because of apprehension. Really? At the end of the day, it's like you just do it.
The fear of, like, it's too claustrophobic, or it's
you can come up with a million
nothing
things.
Nothing happening. Yeah, it's what got you going, Peter.
I was suffering from PTSD, and none of the treatments were working, and that's when I met Christopher, and I started floating, and I immediately noticed an improvement in my symptoms, and I continued, and to this day, it's completely changed my life. I'm off of all of my pharmaceutical meds, including the Xanax. My entire life has changed. I feel so much more calm, relaxed, happy.
Right. Well, actually, like, I've done some floating myself, and I do. There's this kind of a afterglow, I guess you could call it, once you're out of the tank. It sort of lasts for a while.
It's about 24 to 48 hours, and if you float every couple to a few days, you never come down.
You never get good.
Yes. It's the best drug in that way. It's there's no tolerance that built
up. Right, and it's not a drug at all.
No, totally.
So can we just get a couple of little specifics on how it works, the salt water, the temperature, the darkness? It used to be sensory deprivation, right? I mean, that's what...
And it still is.
It still is.
Old term.
Yeah, it's an old term, but we haven't found necessarily better jargon. I like reprieve. Because to be deprived of something is to assume it was necessary to have to begin with. So, like, by existing in complete darkness, it's not taking away something that is causing us to be what we are fundamentally.
It's actually
a really great thing to take a break from.
Yeah.
And so deprivation is sort of a dirty word in this, where reprieve is sort of like a healthy stepping back for a moment. To then re-enter.
Yeah, it's really sensory enhancement.
Yeah.
When they say sensory deprivation tank, the tank itself is depriving you, but you're physically not deprived at all. You've got these internal rhythms that kick in, and you start getting peak experiences that just are enhanced.
Yeah.
Naturally, yeah.
So in other words, you cut out the outside world, but then you're more in touch with
Yeah.
Your insides.
If there's no external stimulation, the internal stimulation has to take over because the mind's got to stay active.
Well, this all came from Lilly, the original concept of this. You know, at the time of the psychology of the 50s was that without our external five senses, we essentially go into a complete deep sleep state of nothingness without a person, without
we go unconscious.
All this other stuff. And he said, you know, I really don't think that's what's going on here. Let me make something that can prove this.
Uh-huh.
And that's... And then he made the that original float tank and said, wow, there really is a lot going on in here. You know, that isn't just a complete shut off.
Right, right.
Yeah. Their first float, they were just amazed. You know?
And so he was finding, well, first of all, you're going to hear your heart beating, probably. You're going to hear yourself breathing. You're going to hear just some of that. I mean, it's not
you
totally.
You tune out of that pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then you're just sort of.
Well, the real kicker is the zero gravity. It's simulated zero gravity, but you take so much stress off your body. I mean, 90% of your central nervous system is dedicated to counteracting the effects of gravity.
Uh-huh.
So when that's freed up, you get these huge extra reserves of energy that you can throw into, like, I would say, like spiritual types
spiritual
of things.
Directions.
Yes.
And just
naturally.
Right.
Yes.
So I want to let listeners know that you're tuned to KBOO Portland. I have three float tank advocates here with me today. And they're also, we're giving out as part of our KBOO Pledge Drive, just call 877-500-5266. And you can get a $65 float for a $75 gift to KBOO. How can that be beat? And we're going to turn this over now to our the people who are talking to us about the whole thing, the pledge drive, and why you want to support KBOO, non-corporate radio. We're starting to talk about the buoyancy factor, and that has to do with Epsom salts, right? And,
yes.
And you're saying that that's actually like, it's not like being in a hot tub, for instance. It's very different.
No, it's magnesium sulfate heptahydrate, and it's extremely buoyant. It's twice as buoyant as it is in the Dead Sea. If you know about hydrometers, it's about 1.28 on a hydrometer.
Uh-huh.
The Dead Sea is like 1.12.
So this eliminates all fears of drowning, basically.
Like yeah, not that you'd be afraid anyway. It's only 12 inches of water.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So as far as this buoyancy goes, imagine like the moment you're born, gravity takes its effect. Like when we're in the womb, we're in this, it's 90% seawater anyways. We're in this very supported environment. The moment we're born, bam, gravity's on us. Like
right.
No big deal.
So this is like going back into the womb in a way.
Sort of. There are two general archetypical situations that I've observed in people, and it's either the womb or space.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like if you're sort of sensing the warmth of the water and you're in that phase of like that warm and comfort, it's sort of the womb. But if you transcend temperature as a concept and you transcend that physical pleasurable experience as well, you get into like the space where there's just
so you're really
nothing.
Floating.
Yeah, there's just nothing.
Yeah.
But as far as like the buoyancy goes, you're taking about 80% of gravity's effects off the body, which provides a really phenomenal effect. You know, if you started floating by the time you were 40, that's 40 years of gravity's forces just continually working
right,
at you.
Dragging my skin down.
Yeah. And so by the time you hop in, it actually extends the spine an inch as if you're in space.
Uh-huh.
And just has all those extensive physical effects from just chilling out in that low pressure type environment. The body just goes into total sympathetic mode.
Sympathetic mode. And that's an interesting thing. And I think that has to do maybe with why, Peter, your PTSD, could people explain sympathetic and parasympathetic just briefly and how floating affects that? I think because what my understanding of it is that we have this autonomic nervous system and that normally we're in the kind of parasympathetic fight-flight thing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, not parasympathetic, sympathetic fight-flight.
Yeah.
And that somehow floating curtails all that and gets us more into it.
Totally. And that's it's very chemical. There's some very recent research that shows, there's a guy named Justin Feinstein at the Laureate Institute of Brain Research who put out some new information recently showing how there's a densification of activity in a couple of parts in the brain during a float. And we don't know the exact chemicals, but there's definitely some dopamine action going on. We do know that cortisol levels are being dropped down, and cortisol is, albeit a very handy chemical in our body, unnecessary to be present in high amounts when there's no actual present danger.
Right.
It's really great if a puma is chasing us. It's really great if we need to respond to an actual situation.
But just having the bell ring and you've got another email and
the cortisol goes,
it's too much, isn't it?
It's not necessary in the least. And so floating reduces that. And when you have lower amounts of cortisol, that's allowing more dopamine, more serotonin, more of these, the only two things that have ever made you feel good.
Right. And so, Peter, what happened with you then? When what exactly happened? What was changing?
Well, what I noticed was first my face. After a while, I started noticing that my face was getting sore. And it took me a minute to realize that all of a sudden I was beginning to smile again, and I hadn't been using those muscles.
Wow.
And after some very long, extensive floats, I noticed that my cortisol levels were coming way down, and my interactions with other people seemed enriched. I actually believe I experienced a consciousness shift where I feel as though my whole life now has changed. It's new. Everything appears fresh and new. Whereas before, I kind of everything seemed sort of cynical, sort of superficial, and less than satisfying. Now I feel very stable, very very happy. And calm.
So it just really changed your head in a lot of different ways.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I was also reading a lot, that people feel like they have a greater sense of calm, a greater sense of focus after floating.
You're not worrying about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So the basic uptightness that we tend to carry with us everywhere we go, that's kind of dropping away.
And these are like thought crystallizations, you know, these ruts of these concepts that we hold on to, that we run over and over and over again, our worries, our fears, our self-doubts.
But your body won't let you do that because it's just too relaxed.
Totally. And the float scenario is this almost perfect / ideal environment for allowing these things to surface up, to bubble up. You know, it gives you a really stood back, removed position to witness yourself from a third party perspective and watch these little things that, oh, I didn't know I was so fearful of that. Oh, I didn't know I was so worried about that. And when it comes up, you can see that, and it sort of just froths and disappears, you know, it dissolves itself through this process. And there's no longer fear, no longer worry. And when you can walk into your day without worry or fear, it's all...
You can start making things happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Chris, would you say that that's kind of how it was like in your experience too, or what you found yourself? You are actually considered the float king, and we'll have to get into that, but we're going to have to take a break again.
Whatever that means.
But, well, I shouldn't say that. Somebody who's floated more than anybody living or dead. That's what Jeremy Werner of the Escape podcast come, and I want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah. It's like, so you are definitely kind of find yourself not in a worry mode most of the time, right?
No.
Right. So, again, I'm taking a break here. You're listening to Peter Moore, Chris Messer, and Jordan Lamp. They're talking about their experiences with floating here on KBOO Portland, which is your non-corporate volunteer community radio station. I had this burning issue from something I read when I was doing things about floats. I've kind of mentioned it to you, but I want to read this quote to the listeners. A fellow from Nation Magazine visited Float On back in 2013, and he was just interviewing different people who were floating there, and one of them was a guy who did, I guess, executive work or something, Andrew. He calls himself the Human Firewall Consultant. Anyway, apparently Andrew told him that he used to book sessions in the morning before work, like he'd go three times a week. But he had to stop. And then this is what Andrew said. I found myself being much more understanding and sympathetic, and I let a lot more things slide, he explained. It was then that I realized I needed to stop floating in the morning, or I'd start allowing people's excuses. And projects would get delayed. And pretty soon, none of us would have a job. So
I think the key here is I found myself.
You found yourself. Yeah. So I mean, like, does it make people lazier. And well, it didn't make him lazier. It sounded to me like it made him kinder.
I don't think the float can make you anything.
It doesn't make him anything. Yeah,
it makes you less, if anything. It strips away the unnecessaries, if anything.
Well, so in a certain sense, like I could say then that he was becoming kinder because, I mean, that's how I was seeing it. He was becoming kinder to people and actually hearing their reasons for why they couldn't do this or that, although he was calling it excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually beginning to hear people. And you're saying that that's kind of a dropping away of some of the stuff that was...
If you begin to hear people, then there was a voice in your head that was louder than their voices. And
before,
so something has got quiet enough to listen.
To actually hear people.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same with meditation. I mean, it just is creating more space between your thoughts. So you have more time to rest and listen.
And I guess I can't use the word make with you guys. But no. I mean, there was something going on where to me he seemed kinder, actually, after a bunch of floating. And would you say that then it can be an effect of it?
Yeah, so I think this can also come back to the worry and fear. One who is worrying and fearing is identified with something inside themselves that's in pain.
Some tightness in their body.
Yeah, and when you're identified with that, you react and you hold that and you interact with your perceivable external environment with that.
With that energy.
Yeah, so if you're carrying fear and doubt with you, you will interact with your perceivable external environment with that worry and fear. And if you remove that, then you're present with your environment. You're taking things in without these concepts in between you and in your outside world, without these judgments and opinions and all this processing that goes on at such a rapid pace for, you know, instantaneously we can judge a person, we can judge an object and have this.
And then we kind of shut down at that point.
Totally. You've closed yourself off from being able to experience it.
And there's a kind of a tightness in the body that.
Yeah, as far as the nervous system, think of thought as kind of like a constriction.
Yeah.
It's a very general statement. It's not even close to the description of what you're describing at all.
Right.
So it forces your body to kind of tense up.
Yeah, another thing physiologically with this is that you're soaking in Epsom salt, which is magnesium-based. And if there's anything to transdermal magnesium, it relaxes smooth muscle tissue and the nervous system. So
yeah,
scientifically, you are physically relaxing your central nervous system just by doing that. You're surrounded by this nice warm water. You're in, you know, again, the buoyancy.
Yeah.
There's just such a lack of feeling that your body goes, ah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're working on sort of the next step with floating, Chris. You're starting a program called Meditanks?
They're basically small vertical tanks that you float in, and you float in kind of a sitting position, and they're filled with about a quarter the amount of Epsom salts.
Uh-huh.
And so you're in a vertical position, so your back is straight. And normally when you're floating horizontal, you'll drift into theta waves, and then you have a tendency to go into delta waves, which means you'll go unconscious.
Sort of dead out asleep.
When you're in a vertical position, you can't fall asleep. You'll go into theta, but you won't go into delta waves. So for me, I enjoy it because I get more visual imagery, a lot sharper, a lot more three-dimensional quality.
So you're watching movies while you're...
Basically, yes. And feeling wonderful at the same time. Uh-huh. You know, it's the whole body-mind thing.
Uh-huh.
Whenever the body's relaxed, the mind follows.
Right.
So it's a nice vertical position. You're more in line with the earth. It's kind of fringe, you know, but... Floating used to be fringe. Now it's becoming mainstream. Right. It's kind of reached a tipping point. And
well,
so we got to do the next thing that's fringe, because it's not enough to be weird in Portland. You have to be weirder.
Weirder.
Yes.
So this is the next explosion that's going to take off. And actually, Chris let me do a vertical float, and I did really, really like it. And it was like I had what Jordan was talking about, kind of more a feeling of being in the womb in a way. It was like I was sort of almost curled up the way I felt like I might have been when I was in my mother's belly. Mm-hmm. But it was incredibly relaxing again. And yes, I didn't drift off into any kind of sleep state. I was quite aware the whole time. But the funny thing, it affects your sense of time. And could you guys talk about that a little?
Like, time doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It reminds you of how fragile the concept of time is.
Yeah.
When there's no thought, there's no time.
Well, that's the thing. It's sort of like this weird thing where it seems like really long, But on the other hand, it seems like it goes by and it, like, you mean it's already over? How can it be already over?
And it really depends on the person, you know? Like, I have one friend who can experience what he feels like 10 years can go by. You know, it can almost be a painfully long process where other people can go in, phase out, and, you know, hours go by and they say 2 minutes felt.
Yeah, like time becomes very subjective in there, doesn't it?
In there?
But it's not, I didn't find it in the tanks. I didn't find it oppressively long myself. I found it like, just like, wow, I'm still here. And then.
So there's no pinpoints. There's nowhere for you as a person to say this occurred and then this occurred. You don't have a point A and a point B to draw a contrast between. The only thing, if you were really, really good at knowing how long your breaths were, you could probably count your breaths in time. But elsewise, you know, there's nothing to pinpoint. You can't put yourself on a map and say, I traveled from here to there. You can't say, I looked at the clock at 11:45 and then I looked at the clock at noon and I know that 15 minutes went by. This is what we're attached to. We look out to identify with A to point B. And when you stop, there's no point A to point B. There's just here, just now, just the present.
Yeah. Well, I like to float in silence, but a lot of people will occasionally listen to music.
Uh-huh.
And music has a beat, largo movement. So if that'll kind of keep you in time a little bit. But even that will drift away.
That's why floating is such a wonderful tool for promoting presence. You become so aware of the moment while you're floating. And then you carry that on into your life when you're out of the tank. You're just generally more present in the moment.
Right. Yes. So you're just back to being here again. Yeah. With whatever it is.
Yes. It's a presence machine.
A presence machine.
And you're practicing in there. Not that you're trying to. It just happens.
Right. It happens to you in a way.
Yes,
doesn't it?
Yes.
It makes you something. Mm-hmm. I'm forcing you into what makes you.
You're just part of it.
Okay. You were it to begin with. You can't make something that you can't change something
here.
That was in that state
here.
To begin with.
Okay. Yes. Okay. It gets it sort of helps you get rid of a lot of the tightness and the relaxation is so deep that that it's just a very different experience for a lot of people. And people, when they want to float, I mean, it is okay to listen to music, as you're saying, although usually it's a silent experience.
Then you start to call that selective sensory input.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
It's not pure anymore.
Right.
But it's okay.
And people have a kind of a claustrophobic fear of it.
There's no reason to anymore.
Yeah.
You can leave the door open, though, for a little bit.
We have tanks with total rooms or the tanks that there's no top on the tanks.
There's no top at all in the tanks.
Or 7-foot ceilings.
It's like a big extravagant bathtub that's super large.
So they can climb out and get back in.
Some people prefer having a door close to them.
Yeah, people really like the cocoon womb feel who have floated a bit.
Yeah, we have 6 different types of tanks.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Float On. We should mention to people, it's under repair right now, but beginning in May, it's going to be back on, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because Hawthorne is being torn up right now.
Right.
Yeah. They're putting a new sewer septic.
Right. Yeah. And Float On, it did have, there's another thing going on with Float On that you guys started, basically, right, Chris, which was the Float Conference?
Yeah, we do that every year. We started, actually, before we even did the conference, we went to one that was down in San Francisco. And they hadn't done one in, I think, like 15 years. And they were just trying to get everything started up again.
Uh-huh.
So after that, we started doing them. I think 4 years ago, there was 150 people. Next year, 250, then like 300. Last year, we had about 450 people.
450 people?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just in the space
floating
of 3 years?
Is just taking off exponentially
right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
And
there was multiple
disciplinary, multiple modality representation as well.
What does that mean?
Like they had sound therapies, light therapies, just therapies I've never seen before. Hypnagogic light imagery therapies, just very cool stuff.
Huh. And the whole float, like I was looking at a little flyer for the float festival, and it seemed like it's a very kind of we're all just loving this, you
it
know.
Is.
It's a love fest. It's a big love fest.
Don't let the secret out.
Yes.
And it was also a kind of like, you want to start a float business? Great, let me help you.
Totally.
There's not the competitive thing seems to
There's
really.
There's no competition. It's all promotion. We're all helping each other.
Yeah.
Why would you compete for presents?
You can't compete for something you already have.
Yeah.
It's an enhancement, that's all.
So that gets me back to my old thing about, what would the world be like if everybody floated? Would it just move more in that direction.
I think Pete said earlier everyone had to have a smile.
A more cooperative world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, anyway, it was fun looking at that, the float festival. And also, I think there was an art book that was made by Float On.
There's several projects. There's an art book. There was a choreographed dance project that happened.
Yeah.
There's a cookbook. Yeah. There's an ongoing record label for music inspired by floating.
And these are all based on like people's experiences floating, and then they're trying to sort of create art.
Absolutely,
out of that.
Yes. Everyone along the way. So, like in the record label, the person making the music is floating. Uh-huh. The person doing the artwork for the CD is floating. The person doing the post production work is floating. There's not a person anywhere in the chain involved in it that's not floating.
Not a floater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is like floater art. Basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Inspiration from the void.
which comes to the point that. You know, you use this word make, and I'm going to throw you a bone here and say that floating might make people more creative.
There
were actual studies done on this with jazz, getting people to float to see if it inspired their jazz abilities further, and it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find that the left and the right brain start to synchronize in the same pattern.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah, all of a sudden the left brain gets access to the right brain, so it's very easy to go into those deep theta states.
Everything comes from the void anyways.
Yes.
Know.
Okay, so and let's get, like, just explain real quick, right brain, left brain. Right brain is the emotional, creative.
Say linear. The right brain,
is
the more creative, artistic.
Right, and the left brain is where the words are and the rational and
the analysis.
And let's be efficient and all that.
Yeah.
So those are kind of out of balance in our culture, and those get back kind of in balance floating.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, I love it. A couple of little weird things about floating and why it's good for you again. I was seeing that some people go into those float tanks to improve their athletic performance.
Oh, totally.
And how does that
work? Well, so just an easy example, Float On has been sponsoring MMA fighters. It's a guy named Dave Jansen.
What's an MMA fighter?
Mixed martial arts.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So a guy named Dave Jansen, he would go in and float all the time. He'd float before fights, and he was undefeated for quite a while. I think he went up very top of a championship. But I asked him what he does when he's in there, and he goes, I just, you know, I imagine that same kick over and over and over and over again. And there's neurological programming that goes on here. It's been shown that if you using visual imagery to do something over and over in your brain actually wires you for the moment that you go to actually do it.
So he's in the float tank visualizing.
Muscle memory.
And it also flushes lactic acid, so it's really good for training. If you go out and just do a bunch of work in a day, hop in a float tank afterwards, it really integrates structural integrity. Muscles actually build when they're in recuperation mode. They don't build while you're using them. You break them down while you're using them. And then they build up while you're in recuperation mode. And so all of a sudden you're in this reduced gravity environment surrounded by Epsom
super
salt.
Super recuperation.
Yeah,
mode.
It's like the ultimate recuperation tank at the same time. And then you wake up feeling like nothing happened. You know, you come out of this thing like fully recuperated. Your muscles should be hurting and stinging and all in this pain, but they totally just relax.
Right. So like after, if someone was like, not that I would ever be into this, but a marathon run.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. They make their trips. You know, see the same people.
Fall into a tank.
Yeah.
And it's not a hot tub. It's different. Because of the Epsom salts.
Yes.
And the exact temperature that it's at.
Yeah, it's at 93.5, which is right near your skin receptor temperature, not your body.
You don't want to go in expecting it to be hot or even warm for that matter. Right. You want it to just
temperature
be
neutral.
Nothing.
Which adds to the experience of
nothing. No senses. Yeah.
Right. And another thing that seemed like was really helping people was with addiction, and that could be like smoking or drinking too much or even like food. You know?
Again, I think this comes down to the chemical alterations that occur throughout the body and in the brain during this experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, the agitation that comes from addiction is usually something to do with dopamine or serotonin, the only two things that make us feel good. When we turn to an outside source chemical, it's stimulating one of those two, or possibly GABA in one of these ways. when you don't give your body that again, it's saying, oh, it was that thing that's causing this chemical reaction to give me these chemicals that I wasn't getting to my desired amount.
Right. So in other words, you want the food or you want the smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's triggering some chemicals.
Totally. You're getting a reward response.
Uh-huh.
And the float has a great reward response. And so while you're floating, if these agitations are coming up, A, you're in a position to be withdrawn from these cycles to say, oh, that's interesting. I'm feeling this way. I'm really desiring this right now. But you can be stepped back from it to say, well, who's desiring that? At the same time, you've got these pleasurable chemical releases from the reward response saying, hey, it's okay. You can chill out. It might not be necessary to go reach for this at this exact moment. You know, maybe everything's just okay right now.
So that craving, wanting thing, and all the tension that goes with that craving and wanting feeling.
Yeah.
Just gets
maybe not of, all. Maybe not all. I'm not going to say it's just a magical fix. But if one is willing,
floats away.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So do you think they're going to start using this in hospitals? And
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think there are some sort of regulations/insurance things that are going to have to come out in the wash to get to that point. But 5 years from now, I hope to see
that. So you see the whole medical world taking off with floating. Yeah. And as you say, it's taking off. I mean, and as you say, like even the float festival has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And back to the float festival, what are some of the kinds of things that are happening at that float festival?
People from all around are coming to talk about what they're doing.
Well, you said there was
The Justin Feinstein at the Laurier Institute of Brain Research. Yeah, totally. The whole spectrum between regulations, just the most boring things you can imagine, down to the nit grit of what it goes down to regulating a float tank, to the most interesting things that you could think of, just brand new research, like what exactly are the limitations of transdermal meditation or transdermal magnesium. We didn't know this before last year. There was research, but it was it was not peer reviewed. It was very unfounded. It was this one-off thing with a very small group. And that was the only information we had to go off of for transdermal magnesium intake. And all of a sudden we have this brand new information that's just very, very, very exciting.
Yes. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of research now.
But to answer your question, other things that happen there, there's usually food carts. We had music. We had a full concert with float music last year. There's, like I said, these other things to go check out, like sound therapies, visual therapies. You can go talk to float tank manufacturers. They've got their float tank set up. You can ask them questions. Supplement companies. It's a very holistic type of experience. Yeah.
I'd sort of like to close out with a little more focus here on Chris Messer, who basically, I believe, started floating in Portland when he was back here 6 years ago setting up Deep Haven. And as I said in the beginning, Jeremy Werner of Escape Pod Float says that you're a pretty big deal in the float community. You floated more hours than anyone else, living or dead. Okay, so what is that about? And what's the longest you've floated, for instance? And I also want you to tell a little about this whole thing with dark retreats that you're doing.
Well, when I lived in Hawaii, originally I floated 24 hours once. But here I've only done about 12.
12 at a time.
More recently.
Now, you have to get out and go to the bathroom once in a while.
Yes,
right?
You do.
Okay, thank you.
That's very important. Anyone floating in our tanks, you have to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
But nevertheless, 12 hours without doing eating or anything, just doing that?
Oh, you could go without eating for a month.
Okay,
I mean, eating's
true.
Really, drinking is good, you know. Yeah, you can go a couple days without that. So,
Chris, was there a contrast in your experience between a 12-hour float and a 2-hour float?
Yeah.
Oh, dramatically. I would say you kind of reach a certain critical point where exponentially you get more and more visual imagery, or at least I do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm in for the feeling, but I'm really in for the visual imagery, because I've just seen things that were just so beautiful, bring tears to your eyes. You know, it's hard to explain. It's just this, it's almost like an object moving in front of you and just like showing itself off. And the trick is to become the ultimate observer and not participate. And just get really
good. So you're
not
even like getting in there with your mind very much, going like, oh, what is this? Or trying to identify it or anything.
You go in
you're just
and
letting
yourself
float into seeing.
Yeah, you go in and your thoughts slowly become disassociated. And you get to a point where you can't think in a linear pattern anymore. And then you say to yourself, why am I trying to think in a linear pattern? You know, why am I trying to finish a sentence here? Just let it end.
Really let go of that yes. left brain.
Yeah, and then when you get into the right brain, I can only describe it where you're no longer concerned with anything that's worldly at all. It's totally gone. It doesn't live in that world anymore. It's not like you're trying not to do it, uh-huh. to think of things, you know. It just doesn't live in that world anymore, and you're in that world.
And you've also done what you call dark retreats. Is this the same thing, or is this like in float tanks, this
yeah.
dark?
Well, darkness retreats, it's an old Buddhist tradition where the monks would go and live in caves for 7 weeks. They were practicing the bardo in pitch black. So I did a month, and I used my meta tanks, my vertical tanks. And so it was really nice because it gave me a nice kind of loose routine every day. I could wake up from a lucid dream, go into the tank, float right away, float 5 or 6 hours, and just maintain that space that I had from that dream the night before. And it made the day really easy.
And how would you say that's affected you after, like say the before and the after, Chris?
I was with him while I was through this process. And I asked him towards the end, you know, I'd check in with him. Yeah, how are you doing? How do you feel about all this? And every time I would ask him how he was doing, he would say, I am more and more convinced that this is exactly what I should be doing right now. And at the very end, I asked him, you know, so how do you feel about all this? He goes, you know, I really can't just wait to do it again.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But for just normal people, like...
Everybody's normal.
Yeah.
And everybody's not normal.
a float to help you just get through your life.
Yes.
Every, you know, once a week, twice a week, three times a week, whatever. It's a good thing. So I just want to let people know that you're listening to KBOO Portland, your non-corporate radio station. It's run by volunteers. It's a beautiful community thing. And help with the pledge drive. You've been listening to Peter Moore, Chris Messer, and Jordan Lamp. We've all been talking about float tanks and how they're so good for us. This has been the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I want to thank you and hope you can support the Supreme Pledge Drive, and thanks for listening.